If you would, go ahead and start turning to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, this morning, the lesson is on power. How about some examples of what we might view as power or something or someone with power? In sports, we see athletes that we think have power, such as football players who break through the line and sack the quarterback, or a baseball player that hits home runs almost every time he's at bat, a golfer that can drive a golf ball over 300 yards. You get the idea. How about other things such as high-performance sports cars, big tractors, bulldozers, airplanes, the shuttle? We consider these things to have power. Let us also consider electricity. Electricity is very powerful, but we, and by that I mean humans, cannot produce power that comes even close to lightning. This is just a sampling of things that man has or man has produced that we consider having power. Man does not have the capability to even come close to having or producing the power that God has, even though sometimes we think we do. Consider some things we see from God, such as nature. How about lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes? These are things man simply cannot duplicate in terms of power. What about this earth? This earth is big to us. It's suspended in space along with other planets that circle the sun. The earth turns, giving us our days and nights, and revolves around the sun, giving us our year. This all came from God. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We'll look at some situations where the power of God was present. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 7. We want to remember that Daniel was commanded here to bow down to Darius. Or he wasn't commanded, but Darius made a law, and Daniel was supposed to bow down to him, and everyone was supposed to bow down to him. They weren't supposed to bow to anyone else. Verse 7, "All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and the satraps and the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew the writings had been signed, he went home, and in his upper room with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed the decree that every man who petitions a god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives of Judea, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for your decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Now, O king, that That is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no creed or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." And then the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. And when the king arose very early in the morning, he went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Let's also look, while we're in Daniel, at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were commanded to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And next he spoke, and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it is usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent that the furnace was exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to him, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected by the smell of the fire, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and that they should not serve any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made into ash heaps, because there is no other God that can deliver like this." Let's look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, starting at verse 15. This is where Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, and the two angels were sent to the city, and they were bringing Lot and his family out. In verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise and take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them outside the city, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay here in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." In verse 26, Lot's wife turned around, looked behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 10. You want to remember here that the Egyptians are chasing down the Israelites as they have escaped from Egypt, and they have come to the Red Sea. Chapter 14 and verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness"? And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one and gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. Now I ask you, can any human being stand in front of water and part water and the land on the bottom of where the water was be dry so that somebody can walk across? We won't read them, but remember the plagues, the 10 plagues in Egypt, more examples of God's power. How about the power of God's spoken word? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself in the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Here's a question for you. Can you just speak something into existence? There's power that is beyond, that is power that is beyond anything man can do. Let's look at another scripture, that deals with power. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, and this is talking about Elizabeth had conceived, and it was in her sixth month, that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice highly, favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to an angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. The Holy Scriptures give us many examples of God's power. Let's look at one more in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Revelation 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Omnipotent, if I'm pronouncing that right, is defined as all-powerful, possessing complete, unlimited, or universal power and authority. God has power that is beyond anything man can produce. There's something else to consider this morning. Let's look at another passage in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. The very words that make up these scriptures have power, the power to save your soul from hell. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, there is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. Let's also look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and start at verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You have an opportunity right now to have the power of God's word save you from your sins. Obeying God's will by believing, repenting, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being immersed in water where we meet the blood of Christ, and being raised up out of that water, free from sin, to start your life again and to live according to God's will. If you want to obey God's will this morning, we can help you. If you've obeyed the gospel and you need the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well if you'll come forward and let us know as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? The power and the blood.